One of the biggest things that entrepreneurs struggle with when it comes to making money online is closing high-ticket deals because they are afraid of selling. On today's episode, I am going to fix that because I'm going to share with you my sales script that is responsible for over $36 million in business-to-consumer sales, and I do it without being salesy or high pressure. Welcome to the High Value Skills Podcast. I am your host, Simon Parsons, and this is the show dedicated to helping millennials move away from a career that you hate and build an online business that you love, one that gives you the freedom and the income that you deserve. Now, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Let's dive in. What is up, all you badass digital entrepreneurs? Thank you so much for joining me here today. I am so grateful for you. I appreciate you listening into this podcast, and I'm excited to be sharing with you strategies on how to build a beautiful business online that gives you the flexibility and the freedom that you deserve in life. Let's go make that happen. So on today's episode, we're going to be talking about my $36 million business to consumer sales script, okay? But here's the thing, it's not actually a script because I don't want to sound like a robot. It's more like a flow. And if you've been listening to this podcast over the last month or so, or for at least the last month or so, you've heard me talk about the psychology of sales. And if you haven't listened to some of those episodes, there's a lot of really good stuff in there. I talk about the two core reasons why anybody takes action. And that episode is especially relevant as to what we're going to be talking about today. I also talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but if you really want to understand some really cool nuances when it comes to sales, then make sure that you revisit some of those episodes. We're going to tie it all together today. So here's the thing is I used to be absolutely afraid of sales. And back in like the early 2000s, I remember hearing Robert Kiyosaki talking about sales and saying that everybody should do sales at some point in their life. And he was talking about how he'd go to these big corporations. He was selling those Xerox copy machines. And he'd go into these big organizations and talk with executives about and sell these to them. And I remember thinking, there is no way I am going to do sales. That just sounds absolutely terrifying. And I so remember that moment when I was reading that in that book, thinking I'm never going to do sales. Yet here I am. I love sales. And the reason why is because I've realized that you do not have to be high pressure or salesy to make deals happen. And it's funny because I love teaching this to other people. And I've taught in front of a lot of groups of entrepreneurs where they aren't sales professionals. And one of the questions I will ask is drop this in the chat. What do you think of? What comes to mind when I say the word sales or selling? And it's so interesting because a lot of people will have these really negative words that come up. High pressure, sleazy, manipulative. And I want you to think about this. What are your thoughts when I say that? When I say the word sales or selling, what comes to your mind? Because if you have some of these negative words coming up, I can guarantee you that that is coming in the way of your ability to close deals when it comes to sales. Now, here's another thing too, is this podcast is about selling online, right? So we use things like sales pages and checkout pages, and it's nice to have these evergreen sales that come in. And that works up to a certain price point. So up until $500, people are more easily able to buy something online. But when it comes to, you know, anything that's above 500, especially when you get into the $2,000, $3,000 and up range, like if you're doing high ticket sales, if it's an $8,000 coaching package or consulting package, you really need to be doing that face to face, meaning in front of either a group or one to one over a phone call or a Zoom call. And that's where these skills come in. So with that said, I am so excited to share with you my sales flow on how to make these deals happen so easily. Okay, so here's how my sales flow goes. By the time that somebody ends up on a phone call with me, I've actually done some of the legwork involved in teeing up the sales. So what I mean by that is marketing helps build the know, like, and trust factor. It also helps to qualify people, right? So by the time somebody is actually on a call with me, it's not like it's a completely cold lead. So the way I like to look at digital marketing is it's such a great way to educate people, to help them see their pain points, and to understand that there are solutions out there. So by the time they get on a call with me, also, if you're booking a call with me, there's things inside of my funnel, my booking funnel, that start to weed people out. I kind of look at it as almost like a digital gatekeeper. So people who are really not interested in change, I want to filter those out. So again, I'm doing a lot of the prep work ahead of time, and I'm positioning myself to be the authority and to be able to help that person before we hop on a call. So I think that this is a huge mistake that so many people in sales make, is they don't use marketing or their lead flow, or for example, a Calendly funnel, meaning somebody books a call with them and they're not doing the right steps ahead of time to qualify the candidate or to weed them out or to be very clear about why they're on this phone call. So by the time somebody hits a phone call with me, they've already been primed, right? They already know exactly why they are there. They probably have questions in their mind. So it's a really easy conversation from there, because I have done some of this legwork. Now, one thing that salespeople are notorious for, and I can't even believe that this goes on as much as it does, but salespeople, they just start selling. When they get on a call with somebody, they start pitching their product. They talk about the features and benefits. They talk about their offer. They talk about them and their company, instead of shutting the fuck up and asking really good questions. Literally, it's that simple. It's like, if you want to sell well, just become better at asking questions. Get them to talk about themselves and open them up. So I'm going to share with you some strategies on how to do that, but I just wanted to mention, by the time somebody gets on a call with me, I've already done some of this prep work. Now, I'm going to break this down into four parts. This is how the flow of my calls goes. The first thing that I want to do as soon as I get on a call with somebody is I want to build rapport. I want to connect with them. I want to open them up and make them feel like it's an easy conversation. Now, this works for about 90% of the people out there, but sometimes you'll get people who are very transactional and it's a little bit harder to open them up. But one thing I love to do to build a rapport is I want to do my research ahead of time. I want to know who this person is by checking out their social media content or their profile page. From that, there's a lot of things that I can learn from the other person. One way that I do this is using what I call connection points. So a connection point is basically something that I have in common with them. And this is what I love about social media, is if I scroll down somebody's LinkedIn profile or check out their website, usually I can find something about them. Not usually, like 99% of the time, I can find a connection point, meaning that we have something in common. So I can say, hey, I noticed on your LinkedIn profile, you mentioned that you do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I used to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu too, and I'm so passionate about it because of this. So what happens is that gets them feeling like there's a connection between the both of you, and you can have that conversation for a few minutes. You don't want to let that go on too long, but maybe 2 to 3 minutes of building rapport. And this is kind of cheesy. If you can't find anything else, I hate doing this, but this is an angle for you. Weather. People always like talking about the weather. It's totally corny, but it's like, hey, how's the weather where you're at right now? And that kind of opens up the conversation. And then you can say, hey, yeah, my sister lives in Indiana too. So yeah, I can't wait to go travel out there and kind of go into this geographic location type of a thing. But that's another angle that you can use. But I'd highly prefer you use a connection point. Once you have built rapport with the potential client, then here's how you transition into business. So one thing I love to say is, hey, I appreciate you setting up this call with me. How did you find your way to me? And they'll tell you how they found you. For example, while I was scrolling on LinkedIn, and one of my friends responded to one of your posts, and then that caught my attention. And so I went to your profile page and I started reading some of your content. And then I got onto your website. I was really curious. And then I booked a call with you. Or maybe I was on Spotify looking for online business podcasts and yours came up. So I've actually been listening to your podcast for about 2 months now. Then I got on your digital entrepreneur newsletter, and that's what inspired me to set up a phone call with you. So find out how they found their way to you. And that's a really good bridge to start talking about business. So here's the second part. Okay, part one is building rapport. Part two is finding out what they want and why they want it. Okay, this is key. You remember me talking about the primary motivation. This was in a previous episode. The primary motivation why anybody does anything, why they take action or don't take action, is it boils down to two things. They're either moving away from some type of a pain or moving towards some type of a pleasure or desired outcome, and hopefully a combination of both of those. So this is like high power leverage when you're in sales, but most salespeople don't ever find this out. It's so crazy. They just go right into the selling. But here's what you need to do. You need to find out what it is that they want and why that is important to them. The what it is that they want is typically something external, like money, more time, more freedom, a house, a car, a nicer body. Okay, that's more of an external desire, right? This is the desired outcome. And then when you find out why they want it, why is it important to them, usually you can uncover something internal, something, you know, some type of intrinsic motivation for them to move in this direction. And this is typically the pain that they are moving or that they want to move away from. So again, ask them what it is that you want and why is that important to you, okay? Now, here's one thing I love doing. It's called future pacing, meaning I'm putting them into the future. Let's say it's 1 year from now and you could wave a magic wand and get anything that you wanted. What would that look like? And then they'll literally start telling you exactly what it is that they want. They'll start to be describing. What you do is you, hey, tell me a little bit more about that. When you say you want to make more money, how much is that, right? So then they'll get more specific. So you're kind of like just pushing this conversation along and you're holding space for them to tell you exactly what it is that they want. And here's the thing is when you start asking, well, why is that important to you? Well, I want to make more money because my parents they grew up in poverty and we've always struggled to get by and nobody's been able to break out of the cycle of that. And you ask them more questions, they start to describe it even more. What happens is they start to get into a highly emotional state. Not only that, they're literally telling you what it is that they want. They're telling you that they need help and why they need help, okay? So that's part two, finding out what it is that they want and why that's important, because that uncovers the desired outcome that they want and the pain that they are trying to move away from. This stuff is so cool. The third part to this is I want to uncover where the roadblock is. Why have they not done anything about this? So that's where I start asking that very question. So we're on this call now and you kind of recap everything, right? You told me that you want to make $250,000 a year and you said that's important to you because you grew up in poverty and because nobody in your family has ever broken out of that cycle. So why haven't you done anything about it up until this point? And this will start to uncover their roadblocks. Well, I just haven't found a good coach, or I haven't tried, or I've been too afraid to make this happen. I've been afraid to reach out, or I've been afraid to invest in myself. So I'll ask him, like, what's held you back? What are the roadblocks? What are the obstacles? And then I can ask them a question like, you know, what happens if you don't take action right now? What happens if another 10 years goes by and you haven't changed your situation? What is that going to look like? And I'll ask him, what does it cost you so far? So it sounds like you want to do something right now, but what does that cost you over the last 10 years? And this really helps them. It's like shining a flashlight. This is a problem that I have not dealt with yet, and I need to do something about it. When you ask these types of questions, it really fleshes things out, okay? And it really puts them in a position where they tell you that they're ready to do something about it and they need help. So after I recap everything, I'll do another recap and, you know, this is what you want. This is why you want it. This is why you haven't done anything about it. I'll ask him, are you ready to do something about it now? And they're almost always going to say, yes, absolutely. And when they tell you that, this is where you take control and you tell them how they are going to get it. You give them the roadmap. You give them the prescription, okay? So one analogy I like to think about is a doctor, right? When you go into a doctor and your knee is hurting, what happens is they ask you a bunch of questions. And then you tell them, well, my knee's been hurting for the last, you know, 3 weeks because I've been doing this and this and this. So they're getting data, right? And once they know what the problem is, they prescribe the solution. This is where you do it. So part four is prescribing the solution. You tell them exactly what you need to do, and you can give them a high-level roadmap. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to start doing this and this and this. But you walk them through high level of what that process is going to look like, and then you ask for the sale. So super easy to make this happen. And here's the crazy thing is a lot of people actually go through all this work of getting on a sales call and they're too afraid to ask for the sale. Okay. If you do it in this way, they're a lot of times they'll be like, what are the next steps? What do we need to do to make that happen? I love that. I love getting on a call where I ask these questions. And at the end, they're like, okay, tell me what I need to do. It makes it really easy. A lot of times that happens, okay? But if it doesn't, this is a time where you tell them what they need to do. And I almost say it's not even asking for a sell. You tell them, okay, here's the next step. Here's my coaching program. It's $8,000, or you can pay $2,000 a month over the next, 6 months or whatever. Whatever your price point is, this is where you tell them what they need to do and you bring them into your program, okay? So if you made it this far on the sales call, you're gonna either close the deal or you're gonna get some objections. But there is no denying if they've made it this far, they are very, very interested in making a change. They still might not be completely ready for that, because what happens is when people are forced with change or a big commitment, moving in a different direction, all kinds of stuff comes up. And you guys have heard me talk about this stuff a million times when it comes to mindset, is those limiting beliefs will start to come to the surface. So if they're not in, they're going to throw up some type of an objection. They're going to say, well, I can't make this happen because, and here's the most common objections is, I don't have enough time, or I don't have enough money, or now's not the time. And they want to wait for a better time. All this is fear coming to the surface. So by asking for the sale, what you're doing is you're pushing them into a situation where they need to confront this fear. And it's actually a really good place to be. This is how you actually help your clients make change. It can be a little bit uncomfortable for them and for you, because a lot of people, they want to walk away. If they're like, oh, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money. Okay, well, that's cool. Let me know when you do have enough time, and that never comes, right? And they never get results. But here's the cool thing is you don't need to walk away from the objection. All they need is a little bit more confidence or a little bit more clarity. And this is how you find it out. First of all, you want to align with them. You don't want to combat the objection or try to talk them out of anything. You want to say, hey, I totally understand where you're coming from, right? This is a big commitment. I get it. You just told me you want to make $250,000 per year, and you've always lived in poverty, and you want to break the cycle. Well, it's obvious that that type of commitment can be a little bit scary for you. And that's why I'm here, is to walk you through that. Now, I have just one more question for you. Is that your only concern? Is the financial commitment on this, or the time commitment? If that weren't part of the issue, would you be all on board? And what you're doing is you're getting a micro commitment. Yeah, if it wasn't for the money, if it wasn't for the time, if it wasn't the fact that I had two kids or whatever, all these excuses, okay, I would be totally on board. Okay, well, thank you. So this is the one issue that we need to solve. Okay, here's the deal. When it comes to an investment, a lot of people, the people who don't succeed are the ones who don't invest in them. If you look at any successful person out there, they invest in themselves. But people who get stuck in this paradigm of not having enough money, not making enough money, the reason why is because they look at, they don't see it as an investment. They see it as an expense. So they don't want to spend money on this. You're not spending money, you're investing. But anyways, that's just an example. So this opens up the opportunity for you to help them see the bullshit excuses that they're saying, right? You align with them, you tie down the objection, make sure that's the only thing there, and then that's where you have them confront that. And you want to ask them again, okay, I am here, give them assurance. I'm here to walk you through this process. You told me that you've had this problem your entire life and you're finally ready to do something about it. Do you want me to let you off the hook right now, or do you want me to help you make this happen? But this is where you circle back and you ask for the sale again, and you give them the confidence and you lead with conviction and let them know that you have their back and you're going to be doing this along with them. Here's the thing is, once you get them past that point, once you get them past the objection or the fear, it feels really fucking good. It feels good for them. They feel like a new person because you push them to the point of where the fear and excuses come to a head, and you've walked them past that. Now, there are going to be some people where it's just not in their cards. They're not going to make a change, and that's okay. Don't keep forcing it, but make sure you hold space for them. Hold space. Use that objection as an opportunity to dig a little bit deeper and circle back on that call to action. If they're just still not ready to move, it's okay. Okay, not everybody is a buyer. Not everybody is ready for change. A lot of people are talkers out there, and move that out of your way. Okay. Here's why that's a good thing is you don't need to spend any more time with them. You can move on to somebody else. Okay. Somebody who is ready to commit. So look at an objection as an opportunity. But hopefully this episode, you've seen how beautiful the sales process can be and how naturally it can flow. I'm going to recap everything. Okay. First part is I want to build rapport and find connection points. Second part is I'm going to transition into the business context and I'm going to find out what it is that they want and why that's important to them. And I'm going to be asking a lot of supporting questions that peel back the layers so that I can get them in a highly peak emotional state where they're feeling it, where they can literally feel what it is that they want. And then I'm going to ask them, why haven't they done anything about it? Okay. I'm going to flesh out the obstacles. Why are they doing something right now? Or why do they want to do something now? Why have they not done it in the past? What happens if they don't do something now? What will it look like 10 years from now if they haven't made a change? What does it cost them in the last 10 years or whatever? Find that out. And then that's where you transition into telling them, giving them the prescription. Here's how we're going to do it. And then get asking for the sale. Call to action, right? Like I said, I don't even like saying asking because a lot of times you can say, here's what we need to do and give them the prescription, right? If you have a leaky house, if your roof is leaking and you call somebody to come take a look at it and they give you a bid, they don't necessarily ask for the sale. They say, here's what it costs to fix it, right? So having that type of confidence and conviction in the sale really makes this flow very easily. All right, my friends, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I have an ask of you. I have a CTA for you. I would love it if you'd pull out your phone right now and drop some stars on this podcast, okay? Most people don't, but I know that you're not most people, okay? If you're listening to this and you're invested in yourself, I have a favor to ask of you. I would love it if you'd pull out your phone right now on Spotify or Apple and drop me some stars. All right, my friends, thank you so much, and I will catch you on the next episode.